Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We inspect the spillway regularly. In fact, multiple agencies inspect the spillway multiple times a year. And this is just not something we saw coming.
I don't know how you don't see it coming. That's Chris Orrick from the Department of Water Resources, one of the information officers there, the lead information officer, going out there and talking to everybody when it comes to what's going on in the Oroville Dam and the potential of God knows what could take place. Because here we go, Thursday, we're going to have another five of the next 6 days. Starting Thursday, it's going to be rain and heavy at times. And we potentially could have more of a nightmare. Now, he was saying, no, we're not. As we talked to him last hour, I'm thinking to myself, possibility's real, and we're going to have more issues. And what happens in 6, 8, 10 weeks from now? And then as it starts to warm off, we have the runoff from the with the heavy snowpack. And the next thing you know, this thing is a mess. And where is the accountability in this? That's a question that needs to be asked. Because too many times in politics, too many times, failure comes and nobody's held accountable. People have been talking about it for 12 years that these things, these dams, they're struggling. And they've not really been put to the test. And when the time comes, they may fail. We're not talking about a pothole, right? We know we got enough issues out there with all of these roads. We talked about that a bit yesterday. We're talking about those kind of things. We're talking about the fact that these, you know, these dams, we've got enough issues with water in California, right? We've got enough issues. And if these things aren't prepared to capture, keep, and or keep their you know, their actual dam-like condition without breaking, not only could we be losing water, we could be losing lives. We could be losing homes, property, personal effects. It's insane. They knew about it. It's politics right here. This is it. This is it. And it drives me crazy. Where's the accountability in this? And when you have so many agencies, what you do is you have enough finger pointing that nobody ever wants to take responsibility. Not that anybody's going to stand up and go, yeah, it's all my fault. I knew about it. But I ignored it. No, you're not going to have that. But what you should have is accountability along all of these lines here with all of these agencies, where somebody should have said, we talked about this a decade and a half ago almost. We came to you and we said these things needed to have a look at. These things really are 40, 50 plus years old, and we're not quite sure. We've never really even tested what could possibly happen if we get through the spillway and we have to open this thing up. We don't know. We don't know. We had to use it one time and boom, it doesn't work. Right? Like if you could parachute 1,000 times and your parachute works 999 times and then you have your reserve parachute because your parachute doesn't open and it doesn't work, you're screwed. Where is the accountability? Those are the questions that I want to answer. I think you should want those too. And with all of this accountability that we hope we're going to get, which we know we're not, right? We know we're not going to get any of the accountability. But honestly, what's going to happen now in 6 months or a year when they start asking us, running ads, they're going to need more money for stuff? And what ends up happening is they figure out a way to go, do you see our crumbling roads and our infrastructure with dams that power plants, blah, 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 blah. We need to fix these. And then what ends up happening is we end up raising sales tax. We end up doing all these kind of things, right? Fees and whatnot. And then that money ends up going to pet projects and never ends up going to fix anything. Whether it's the wacky choo-choo train that'll never get built or God knows what. It ends up going to the rainy day fund. We'd end up paying off people who aren't even working anymore for the state or for cities, paying for retirement funds, paying for health care for people who aren't working, paying for all kinds of things, and never actually taking the money and using it for what it was meant for. Questions that need to be asked. They won't be asked, though. California dodged. It only is until there is a massive tragedy that people really start to hold people accountable. If they can kick the can down the road and ignore it a little bit longer, they're okay. If that thing was to give way, if we lost homes, if we lost lives, well, then that's a different story. But right now it's like, whew, we got away with that one for now. But you've got 180 plus thousand people, 190,000 people that are displaced from their homes who don't know when they can come back. Yeah, there needs to be some questions. There does. Happy Tuesday. Happy Valentine's Day to you. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. We're obviously following what's taking place with Lieutenant General Flynn, who resigned last night. You know, here's your national security advisor who, yeah, this is ugly for the White House. This is absolutely ugly for the White House. And it is getting uglier. Now we're finding out that the New York Times is reporting that Trump knew 17 days ago that Flynn had not been truthful as far as Russia and the contacts and what took place. The cover-up is usually worse than the crime, and I don't really know if there was a crime here. But, I mean, you could look at the Logan Act, and people will talk about that today when you are a civilian and you're doing essentially, you know, you're handling business of a of somebody who, you know, should be government kind of business, but you're doing it as a civilian. That's the easiest way to explain it. Did he know 17 days ago, and did he know everything 17 days ago? That's the thing. He may have known he talked to somebody, but did he know? Did Trump actually know what he talked about? I'm saying yes. And it's not because I don't like Trump, and it's not because I just think that guy knows everything that's going on from top to bottom. There's not a, I don't think he, you know, with his businesses, he's one of those guys that seems to know that everything is happening in his business. Who's doing what? How are they doing? Who's failing? Who's succeeding? Who needs more responsibility? Who needs to have less responsibility? I think they got popped. I think people started making noise. I think Republicans started asking questions. And I think when all is said and done, this is going to look ugly that you're less than a month into your presidency and already one of your closest allies, the person that was with you from top to bottom as this thing took off, one of your first people to endorse you in your run to the presidency, somebody who spoke about locking Hillary up for all of her nefariousness, lasted less than 3 weeks in the job. And now you're being implicated, if you will, and your administration of actually trying to cover some of this up. I want accountability. I want, you know, there's got to be some accountability. There does. Yes, Flynn is gone, but will there be an investigation? I'm assuming at some point in time they're going to look into it. Depends how hard the Republicans want to push for it. But you're starting to get some clamoring over there that this is not good. And if I was them, I'd get in front of it sooner rather than later, and I would do it as the president of the United States. Not Sean Spicer, not Kellyanne Conway, not one of your spokesholes. You get out there and you squash this sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later. Because the longer it lingers, the more people dig. The more people dig, the more that you could be implicated in things. Even if you didn't have full knowledge, people are still going to think you had some more knowledge than maybe you really did have. Perception is reality. Get in front of this thing. It's not that hard. It's out there for the world. You go out there and you go, I knew that he had spoken. I did know what he had spoken about. I found out over the last week or so that he had lied to the vice president, and we had since cleared that up in-house, but the heat was too strong, and, you know, it was my recommendation that he resigned because this was something that we can't have, and I want to have an open, transparent administration. And, you know, I respect General Flynn, and I don't think he did anything untoward, but the truth is that we can't have these kind of things. You do that, and you quash any of the other stuff because people are like, okay, he's coming out, and he's talking about it. But you dig. like a treasure, right? You think it's here? Well, maybe it's here. Maybe it's another foot down. I don't know. Maybe it's another foot. They're going to dig till they find that treasure. And you've got enough people in the media right now that are trying to find that treasure. And, oh, by the way, you've also pissed off several different departments in the government by the attitude you've had at times towards them. So you wonder where these leaks are coming from. Well, guess what? This is what happens when you piss people off. They take it and they leak it. Because you are essentially being told, I'm here to clean up the swamp and you guys are a problem and you're inefficient and you're horrible and you get raises and there's no accountability. And you're like, well, I don't really like this guy. So you know what? If I find something, maybe I tell somebody, maybe I don't. Maybe it was me, maybe it wasn't. Get in front of it. You want to quash it? Get in front of it. Otherwise, this thing's going to linger on a lot longer than it should. And if we've seen anything in politics, it starts small, but that brush fire grows fast. And if you don't deal with it early, it's out of control. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. Chime in on any of these things. 844-DIG-CHAD is the phone number, 844-344-2423. It is Valentine's Day. We've got the history of Valentine's Day and whether or not you will be shot by Cupid. Whoa. It's the Chad Benson Show. Expecting you and
love. Life's sweetest dream.
How the hell does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Love the love boat. Love boat. Do-do-do. Jack Jones actually lives in SoCal. Paul Williams wrote that song along with Charles Fox. Love Paul Williams. I interviewed Paul Williams last year and we kind of became pals. It's kind of neat. It's very cool. The love boat. Do-do-do. It is Valentine's Day. Celebrated across the world, actually. Day of Love. Although in some countries, I've seen now in certain countries in Asia, they're banning Valentine's Day. I don't know why. Well, you can't be in love. You should love somebody 365, right? It's kind of a woman's holiday, I think, in a lot of ways. History of Valentine's Day and a story of the patron saint is shrouded in mystery. We do know that February has long been celebrated as the month of romance. Say Valentine's Day, as we know it today, contains vestiges of both Christian and ancient Roman traditions. But St. Valentine and how it became associated with this ancient ritual and rite, the 1800s is when we kind of started to see how Valentine's Day would work because people in Europe would start making handmade cards and gifts to hand to their loved ones. Oh, really? Yeah, how about that? Handmade cards. Nowadays, it's all about flowers and chocolates. And what did you get me? And why don't you love me? Why? Valentine's greetings were popular as far back as the Middle Ages, but it didn't appear until about the 1400s. The oldest known Valentine still exists today. It was a poem written in 1415 by Charles, Duke of Orleans. I love the man Orleans. It was written to his wife while he was in prison in the Tower of London following the capture of the Battle of Agincourt. Several years later, it's believed that the King Henry V hired a writer named John Lygate to compose a Valentine note to his Catherine of Valois. Ooh. Now, that maybe sounds like you shouldn't do that, right? Like you're hiring somebody, but isn't that what we do, right? We buy a card, and I love Jim Gaffigan says, well, it looks like something I'd say. And you write your name in it. That's what we do. Can't you write a poem? It may be horrible. Now, here's one for you ladies out there. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. Would you rather have something that is store-bought, but it's nice, or something that thought was put into it and effort, but it kind of misses the mark? Oh, that's a question right there. That is a question right there. So would you rather have something that was nice, store-bought. Maybe somebody with Tiffany's bought you something there, right? And you're like, oh, my God, I love this. This is great. You see the blue box. You freak out. It's great. I get it. It's cool, right? Or would you rather have something where, like, you know, a guy tries to build you something or he tries to make you something or he does something that's special, but it's just misses the mark? 323-538-2423. Speaking of Day of Love, I don't know if you saw this, Producer Phil, but in Israel, they have Burger Kings there, too. And for today only, adults can get their very own Happy Meal. Brown chicken, brown cow. So you get the kids' meal, right? That's for kids, obviously. So you get this, you know, whatever toys in there. But the adult meal is for 18 and older. You have to bring an ID. It comes with two Whoppers, two packets of fries, two beers, and an adult toy.
Just the fact that you're getting a beer with it is great.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what Producer Anthony says. Just we're getting beer with it. How awesome is that? So you get two Whoppies, right? I love the Whoppies. Two packets of fries, two beers. And judging by the toys on here, it's kind of more towards that, how should we say this? More towards that 50 Shades kind of thing, you know, maybe like a feather, blindfold. You're not getting any crazy kind of adult toys. Speaking of the 50 Shades, I love this, that there have been several more calls and people showing up at hospitals due to the fact that they've gotten a little bit too into the 50 Shades type of situation and maybe something went awry. And they've had to seek medical attention. That's why they have that show, Sex Sent Me to the Hospital. Crazy. So those are your Valentine's Day. Make sure you go out there and do something special for your loved one. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Ladies, would you like to have something that was store-bought, right, and wonderful, or something that somebody put time and effort into, but maybe it just misses the mark? But you knew they were trying. Text us, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. This here be the Chad Benson Show.
Red, white, and blue now. And in this land of hopes and dreams, my love.
The Chad Benson Show.
And I hope for tears of thee.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The issue is whether or not he failed to properly inform the vice president or not be honest with him or not remember it. But that's the plain and simple issue. And when he lost trust with the president, that's when the president asked for and received his resignation.
Sean Spicer right there a little while ago giving a brief press conference talking about a lot of things, but mostly on everybody's mind is what's going on with General Flynn, who was the security advisor who's no longer a part of the administration less than 2.5 weeks after he became the security advisor. And I'll tell you what, you know, getting people tweeting at me saying it's much to do about nothing. There's no crime here. I never said there was a crime here. It's your grace. Tweets at Chad Benson Show. Please, even at Krautheimer said much to do about nothing. Hashtag liberals salivating dogs. Look, I'm not saying there is a crime here. What I am saying, it's bad optics and you need to run your house better. Right? Don't give people more ammunition when they feel they've already got enough. Don't do that. That's what I'm trying to tell people. If President Obama would have done this, people were all over him. We should hold this president accountable in the same way. Right? When President Obama jacked the pooch on a lot of things, I was there. I was on it. When there was opportunities to say he did a hell of a job there, I did. Again, too many of us are, we pick a side and we stay there. We don't want to hear anything else. And we're afraid to criticize even our own side, if you will, over something. And you've got to be able to do that. It's the checks and balances of your own party that keep you in check more than anything else. And this was run poorly. This was absolutely run poorly. I'm not saying there was a crime. I don't think there was a crime. But I'm saying the optics were bad and the way that it was handled was poor. The fact that we have somebody leaving and who resigned and was asked to resign, I think is good because it shows that there is accountability. Because how many times do we see things in government never get really resolved and people move around? The IRS, right? Remember that? The fact that they used their opportunity to go after conservative groups and deny them nonprofit status, hold them up for years and months and never give them an opportunity to set up. Or the VA hospital, what do? They just move everybody around. Very few people resign or get fired. The fact that this did take place is fine. The big problem here is you lied to somebody. That is it. You got caught and you lied, then you lied again. That is not good. And when you lie to the vice president, and then for 2 weeks, people inside the White House knew, what you've done is you've undercut the vice president and the authority and power that he has. And that's not good. That's inside of your own house. Sean Spicer continues.
General Flynn is a dedicated public service. He's served this country admirably. And I think the president appreciated his service to his nation, his commitment to his campaign. The important matters, as I mentioned, that are before the president when he's dealing with issues, he needs to rely on a national security advisor to give him sage advice. And I think at a certain point, that guidance, that trust eroded, and the president, as he does on all matters, ultimately decides that when he's ready to make a decision, he executes. Alexis.
CSE Hill / Larry, at Chad Benson Show, liberals making mountains out of molehills. Again, bad optics. I don't think there's anything here that is untoward. I don't think any crime was committed. Again, you could go back and say, well, maybe the Logan Act was breached, but that's just, you're reaching at that point in time. But you can't lie to the vice president. You can't neuter him in front of the world. You can't lie to other people inside of the administration. And then when you do come clean, expect everybody to give you that trust again. And especially when you're dealing with a situation. Like, if this was somebody else lower down in a situation where you were dealing with, you know, God knows what, some other country that nobody's really paying any attention to, you might have gotten away with it. Russia, the optics, the fact that, you know, we've never had anything like this. We have a president right now that is bringing people to the table that have had their own agendas, that is bringing people to the table that have their own contacts. All politicians do, but the difference is a lot of these people have different kind of contacts compared to the Obama administration, which was purely political. Politicians just moving into new positions. You've got people across the board here that have never been politicians that are coming on board that have relationships with people in some of these countries and in some of these places, and it's a much different situation than we've seen in the past. All I'm saying is be smart about it, right? No crime was committed, but you got to run your house better. You got to run your house better. Kudos to getting him out. Your next move is going to be scrutinized even more. So you got to pick somebody that is above board and that you know you can trust. And that was the thing. He trusted Flynn, and Flynn lied to him. Can't do that. Got to get your house in order. California lawmaker last month tried to introduce a bill to require states to address lessons on how to distinguish between real and fake news from grade 7 to 12. Colleges are starting to add this because fake news is becoming very, very real. I know that's weird to say, but it's true. Fake news is becoming extremely real. Colleges are starting to add courses to how to differentiate between what's fake and what's real. People always say, how do you, you know, what do you do? Because when you, people send me stuff all the time, right? I get stuff all the time. Chad, did you see this story? Chad, did you hear this? Chad, did you, and I say, where did you get the story? Well, and they send me something. And I said, first thing I always do is I only go to reputable sites, places I know, people I can trust that I've worked with in the past. And I do my own due diligence. For a lot of people out there, they're not about that. They don't care about their due diligence. For a lot of people, the people aren't worried about fake news, right? They don't care about fake news. They're all about what will validate my feelings and my belief system. People on the left know to go to the Daily Kos, to go to Huffington Post, and to go to all these kind of things that are left-leaning newspapers. I mean, you know, the Times and LA Times, and they're going to get the things that they want that will validate their feelings. People on the right know to go to Breitbart and Fox and the Blaze and everything else, because that validates their, it's not so much fake news, it's half-ass news. I think it's a way to describe it. Because you're not getting the whole story. Rarely do you get the whole story in any of those things. So I tell people, if you want real stuff, and even when you go to these, the PolitiFacts and Snopes and this, that, and the other, go look and see who runs these companies. Go look and see who actually runs these companies. They say, they may say, look, we're fact checkers. And then you find out that it's a left-leaning think tank that only fact checks right side of the aisle stuff. Go look and find out who these companies are if you're really concerned about it. But most people aren't. Most people could care less because they just want to be validated. How can I be validated? What is it that can validate me? How can I be validated in my thought process? That's what most people want. And the fact that we have to teach kids what's fake news and what's not fake news is insane. But my son is 6.5 years old. Some of the stuff that he's told me, I'm like, where did you hear that? That's not true. But they've, you know, he's been told things. If you're really serious about news and where you find stuff, be independent. That's what I always tell everybody. Be an independent, free-thinking kind of person. Find stuff and then verify it. If you're interested in something, find something and verify it. Because the one thing about the internet that it's given us a plethora of information, and no matter what you find, you can find an opposing story to it. And usually what you do is if you push them both together, it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup, right? Remember, with hey, your peanut butter fell into my chocolate. No, your chocolate fell into my peanut butter. And when you put them both together, you have something great. Well, guess what? You take a lot of articles and you put them both together and you find the truth is somewhere really inside of there. But most people don't want to do due diligence. All they care about is, does this validate my thought process? That's all most people care about. You know what you should care about? You're a business owner. You're a hiring person inside of your organization. You should care about finding the right hire. It's frustrating. It's long. It's daunting. And it's usually not the most exciting thing you do in your business. But you've got to do it right. And you're sick and tired of having to hire. And the reason you're having to hire over and over again is because you're not doing it right. How about this? Let's cut out all the baloney and go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job in one place, but that's not going to work. How about posting it in over 200 plus job sites, including social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. ZipRecruiter.com can help you with that. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Post once, watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. We use it here in my company, and I love it. It takes a lot of the guesswork, and trust me, we're looking for a video guy, and boom. We got so many. I was like, we were overwhelmed. We're talking about how overwhelmed we were. No juggling emails or calls to the office. We quickly screened the candidates, we rated them, and we hired the right person fast, and it was fast. So take the guesswork out of it. Fish with a net and not a pole. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, for the listeners of the Chad Benson Show, you can post your job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. You will be happy you did, and you'll find that right employee for you, your business, and your customers. Wrap it up straight ahead. It's The Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can tweet us. You can also text the program 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo.
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 I love it. I'm dating myself, maybe. 25th anniversary of Wayne's World. 25 years. They're going to do a re-release. Do you know when that is, Producer Phil, when the re-release? I know it's this month, right?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact date, but I've seen a lot of ads for it.
Yeah, 25 years. It's hard to think 25 years ago. That right there, Bohemian Rhapsody, probably the most famous scene of it all. And it was really the lady who directed the movie. It was a woman who had just done some music videos. Her name was Penelope Spheris. And she was struggling. She brought $5,000 just to survive. And, you know, her and her daughter. And, you know, she said that she took the movie, didn't know anything really about what was going to go on. Mike Myers, to do that scene, he didn't know how to drive. He was in a car because he's from Canada. He's only ever taken public transport. Then he obviously lived in New York. He'd never driven a car before. They sent him to Sears just to learn how to drive so they could do that scene. And originally, they weren't sure they were going to use that. They were going to use Guns N' Roses in there. And Guns N' Roses was going to even be in the movie. But they decided, you know what, we're going to shoot this and we'll do the scene. And Mike Myers really wanted it. And he says, you know, look, I don't want Guns N' Roses, Bohemian Rhapsody. And she said she felt horrible because those guys had to shoot it over and over again. And they said their heads were hurting, their necks were hurting. They all had horrible headaches. It was a horrible night. And when all was said and done, obviously it paid off. Some of the other things that happened that I thought were hilarious is they said they had no idea, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, about any of the filmmaking things. They didn't know how to hit their mark. They didn't know where to walk. They didn't know what to do. They were nervous the entire time. But they gave us a lot of crazy quotes and fun, including stuff like the word schwing.
Perks. Schwing, you know, because your mom doesn't tell you to turn down the stereo and junk like that, you know, which is a real drag. Schwing, schwing, you know, because moms are genetically programmed to hate music played at the appropriate level, right? I mean, and my dad, forget about it. Schwing, 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 schwing. He can ruin a Led Zeppelin reunion concert, you know what I mean? Schwing, schwing, because he hates any music played at the appropriate level. Schwing, schwing, schwing.
Schwing, 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 schwing. Not, remember that? Not. No way, not. Mike Myers was in love with somebody, as was Dana Carvey in the movie. I believe her name was Heather Locklear.
What I'd really like to do is something extraordinary. Something big, something mega, something copious, something capacious, something kajunga. But I'll probably end up working at Great America, mopping up hurl and lung butter. Huh.
Look,
Garth, it's Heather Locklear. But she's signaling to us, there is a God.
Heather be thy name.
So you can get the special anniversary edition, comes out today on iTunes, and I'm sure on all the other video outlets. And I guess it's already been in the theater for the 25th anniversary. That makes me feel so dated. Right? That makes me feel super dead. It's funny because I was talking to a younger generation who've never really seen the Wayne's World, didn't quite understand it. You know, some of the commercials in there, they probably don't really like the Grey Poupon commercial. Remember that? Like that doesn't probably, you don't get that unless you were around in the 70s and 80s and understand Grey Poupon. But it was just, and it was an amazing movie. But I can't believe it's 25. That makes me feel so old. That makes me feel so old. No, I don't know. I doubt they'll ever do a reunion or another movie. I know that right now, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, they're getting ready to do part 3. But, you know, I mean, you can do Bill and Ted, right? I think you could do Bill and Ted. But you can't do Wayne's World. I don't know if you could recapture that. Bill and Ted is one of those things where it's a time machine And you can run all over that. I know Fox has a new show coming out, a history. I don't know if you've seen that. I forgot. I think it's a show about a guy who climbs into a duffel bag, and it's a time machine. And on weekends, he goes back, and he has girlfriends, and like he ends up, you know, dating Paul Revere's daughter, and he gets a lot of it looks funny. Right? You can do that. You can't do that with Wayne's World. I think you can capture that. I don't. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. We have got a Twitter poll. A lot of women are chiming in. Most of the women that are chiming in have all said the same thing. They would rather have a really nice, thoughtful gift rather than a store-bought gift that's amazing. So if you're thinking about doing something, you got a little time, guys, to go out and build your wife or your significant other something really good today. If not, a lot of people said that Tiffany's box looks really good as well. You can text the program 323-538-2423. Couple polls up. Did the White House and the Trump administration mishandle the Flynn issue, and should there be an investigation? 61% says yes. 29% says no and no investigation. 10% says yes and no investigation. And was Flynn's resignation the right thing to do? 52% says yes, it was. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. You can check us out on iTunes, at ChadBensonShow.com. You can grab the podcast. Take it everywhere with you. ChadBenson.
The Chad Benson Show.